Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Grammarly, the communication tool that helps improve your writing for every occasion. Start writing more confidently for work, school, and even on the go. It's a great way to double-check your important papers, documents, and even avoid future typos. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium today at grammarly.com/android. And by LegalZoom. Check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. And by ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today. For 3 months free with a one-year package, go to ExpressVPN.com/AllAboutAndroid. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 385, recorded on Tuesday, September 4th, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I am Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion. Hey, groovy dudes,
hey,
how are you doing?
How's it going? You're not wearing your groovy sunglasses to come out with that intro.
I'm not, but I'm wearing a shirt that says "Smile," which you won't really be able to see because my mic covers right here. But no.
We'll... I like that. I was picking up on your vibe, Jason, and Flo just went in another direction.
I just got back from Oregon, so I'm very chill right now.
Oh yeah, you there are chill. You're like there max chill.
I'm max chill.
Someone didn't do much laboring this weekend.
No,
absolutely not.
Good for you, Flo. We should all aspire to not.
Agreed.
And I like. I'm a freelancer. There are no boundaries.
I appreciate your shirt, Flo, although I can't really see the words on it, but I can see the words on Ron's shirt, and I appreciate it as well. Oh, there we go. Okay. There was smile. And, it's not just smile. It's smile with emoticon. And then Ron is rocking a Descendants shirt. Did you get that at the Descendants show?
I got it at a Descendants show like a year ago, I think.
Oh, okay.
One of those things where I'm like, I'm not going to buy another shirt. I've seen the Descendants. I feel very old every time I see bands. Like I saw the Descendants when they got back together in 97. And here we are now. But then I like walked up to the merch table. I'm like, oh, it's a nerdy Descendants shirt. It's an LED version. So I have to get this or Patrick Norton would get mad at me. So I got it.
Nice. Yeah.
And Milo is all LED as well, too.
That's really cool. I like it.
Yeah. It's very cool.
So. As long as AliExpress.
Oh, okay. Well, of course yours is. That's where you do all of your shopping, right? We have...
All about Android clothes.
That's right. I'm just wearing a shirt. This whole thing, it says nothing. It's got a pocket. That's what it has. We're going to stop talking about clothes. And instead, before we jump in, subscribe, twit.tv/AAA. We encourage you to do that because then you don't have to seek it out. We know every Tuesday you're like, man, All About Android is tonight. And because I have not subscribed, because I didn't realize I should, I'm going to go seek it out. And you know what? That's just a lot of wasted effort on your part. Subscribe. Save yourself the trouble. twit.tv/AAA. And I've explained to you how RSS works. And with that,
that was a passion plea. I want to go subscribe.
You
should. I'm on the show. I already am.
Wait, you're not subscribed, Ron?
No, I am. I am. But I'm just saying, if I wasn't, I want to go subscribe again.
All right.
I'm gonna go to the Apple Store and do what we used to do 10 years ago, and go to every computer and go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast.
Because that actually made a difference once upon a time, maybe, or so we told ourselves.
You do it on enough Macs, and it definitely will.
That's true. Victor, it's good to have you here. It's time for the news.
We're packing more news to impress millennials. Here's Android news.
Do millennials require more news?
Here's where Victor took a turn. As opposed to reacting to what we talked about, Victor worked in a tease.
Yes.
And completely stole my punchline in the process.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Good job, Victor.
Sorry, Ron.
So what Victor was alluding to there was the fact that I may get the phone of my dreams, and it's going to be thanks to millennials. So before we get on into all the IFA news, which trust me, there's a lot.
There is.
We did not go to Germany, but other people did, and we're going to talk about that. But before we get into IFA, our good friend of the show, not really, but hopeful friend of the show, Samsung CEO DJ Ko, who I think does a great job at their Unpacked events. CEO DJ Ko told CNBC that they plan to deliver its foldable smartphone with concrete info to announce in November at the Samsung Developer Conference in San Francisco. Ko alluded to a device that works as a phone but can be unfolded into a tablet, quote unquote, when it's needed. He says the design has been complicated but is nearly completed. And he also says, quote unquote, it's time to deliver as the market shows demand for this kind of device. And clearly, DJ Ko watches the show. That's where he's determining this demand.
Yeah. But that's the only amount of research that Samsung did, is they watched this show.
Yep. What is Jason Flo and Ron saying? Oh, foldable device. Okay, let's get on that. The Wall Street Journal reported in July that this would be a single screen that folds, not like a traditional flip phone with a hinge. And we've discussed all the different variations of this, whether it's a flip phone or the roll-up phone or a foldable phone, et cetera. But DJ Ko didn't stop there. He also said that Samsung is shifting its mid-range strategy to better compete in that range of products. They're going to be releasing the Galaxy A series, and the appeal is more for millennials who can't afford flagships. And the idea is to offer new technology and lower-priced smartphones before higher-end models. And the first device in this new strategy is going to be rolled out later this year, which I got to give it up to DJ Ko. Foldable phones, more affordable phones with cutting-edge technology – Those are two great strategies I think Samsung should take. I might jump on Team Samsung.
But you know what, Ron? You're not a millennial, so you can't speak to this with any sort of authority.
I can speak to the fact that the thing I thought that most, whether Google with the Pixel line and with all the flagship phones, stuff like that, I said it back with the Pixel 2. Where is the $300 phone that someone in the mid to low range could get that and feel excited about?
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear Samsung's exploring that, because I think that's an untapped market. And I also think it's an even larger untapped market of people who want a phone that can fold up and put in their back pocket like a paper football.
I think it has nothing to do with phones at all.
What does that have to do?
I think it has to do with the Samsung ecosystem and expanding it beyond. And more mid-range phones means more opportunities to sell things like Samsung SmartThings or any of the other connected Samsung thing. And just imagine being able to afford that and everything else that comes along with the Samsung ecosystem. I mean, you can buy things on clearance pretty easily made by Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a get them while they're young strategy, right? I mean, this is happening, you know, like if you get them in your ecosystem at coming out of college or at a younger age, and the desire to move to a different ecosystem gets harder the longer you're locked in. So if you get them earlier, you lock them in.
And then when they can afford those high-end phones and laptops and TVs and refrigerators, and they'll go buy them, and they'll be a lifelong customer.
That's like Samsung's
washer dryers
dream right there.
Yep. I'm actually thinking refrigerators, just because like it's even at Costco now. Like you walk in, it's like the Samsung refrigerator
with the enormous tablet in the door.
Yes,
that shows you the food that's on the inside,
and that's gonna
just
fold.
Open the door.
No,
just open it.
That's too much effort. Why, when technology can save you from that horrible, horrible life that you knew before.
Jason, what do you think of this? Do you think foldable is real, and do you think millennials are the target? Well, keep in mind also that millennials are not the target for the foldable phone. Those are two separate stories.
I mean, I'm curious. I feel about Samsung's foldable phones about the same way that I've felt about Magic Leap at this point. There's been so much buildup, and granted, it's a little bit different because Magic Leap actually built it up themselves, and Samsung, a lot of this has been rumory, you know, leading up to. So, but it's been so long in the making. It's been like 2, 3, 4 years, depending on how far back you want to go on this like foldable smartphone concept. Personally, I'm not totally convinced that like there is a huge need, but then at the same time, I'm not Samsung and I haven't spent as much money as they must have spent into R&D on this to know that there is some sort of market there. Otherwise, why would they pursue it? So maybe there is, but I'm really just kind of, and I also really want to see like what the difference actually is between a foldable screen phone and a flip phone. Like I get it that a flip phone doesn't turn into a tablet, but how graceful is that? And or is it just kind of, I don't know, just in the end you see it and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. They did that. And, you know, it doesn't really matter much. I don't know.
Listen, Jason, the technology is complicated.
Oh, I know. That's why I don't create technology.
So this weekend, while I was not laboring, we watched I watched a bunch of stuff, TV shows, movies, and things like that. I watched the movie Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yes.
With Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. It came out in 2005, and I thought it was a fascinating slice of a moment in time because it's 2005, so it's 2 years before the smartphone revolution started, and this is a whole movie that takes place in LA, and cell phones are in it. You know, like there's a I spotted a Nokia, I spotted a Sony phone or whatever. At one point, Robert Downey Jr. holds his phone to someone to say, "Have you seen this person?" And it's a little dot matrix picture of them, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe how much things have changed.
Yeah, come a long
and
way.
When I think about foldable phones, it's the same thing. If we had gone back to 2005 and said, Robert Downey Jr., no, you'll have a phone that can do all this now. Like, that's crazy. My phone has buttons and you know, okay. So who knows? You know, like, yes, it's your question about what is the execution like, but if you describe the smartphone execution in 05, it would have sounded crazy as well, too. So good on Samsung for R&D and trying new things.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. I see. I made it. I circled it all back. Before we go on to the email, you mentioned Magic Leap, and I put a link in the chat room if we want to show a little Bay chat. Area humor. Yeah, in the doc chat. If we want to show
laughing
a little
Laughing is
Bay,
a tease.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
San Francisco. I might be in New York, but my heart's still in San Francisco. I don't want to take
know
credit.
I found that link in there.
I don't think this is safe to do in New York a person who's doing it. I mean, it's not safe in San Francisco, but...
But it says, okay, so this is Jeffrey Fowler. We've had him on the network a number of times. He's at the Washington Post. And the caption says, most San Francisco photo of 2018, a dude on a scooter wearing Magic Leap. And sure enough, there's a dude on a scooter scooting down the sidewalk.
I wonder what he was pretending.
I don't
wonder what
know.
He was pretending to be in. Probably like an aquarium. And he's a little fish.
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, it's AR, so it's meant to blend in with your reality, you know?
Yeah.
So
you saw everybody else's other fish.
There's the future. Like, scooting with your AR headset on. It's going to be amazing.
There's the
with future. Your paper hour scooter.
Yes.
It's very rare that I will go, you know, I'm glad I moved back to New York from San Francisco because I love San Francisco and I love the thing. But I saw that and I was like, oh, God, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. Just not having to deal with the scooter revolution of 2018.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I hear it's very convenient.
Now you know why. That's because now you know why Jason and I live out in the middle of nowhere.
We don't. Yeah, there are no scooters on the streets here in Petaluma.
No scooters. Just... animals.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a whole other story. Before we get into all the hardware, of which there is plenty from IFA, I thought this was a good email to kind of read beforehand. Randall writes in, and Randall is one of a few people who wrote in about this. He says, in last week's episode, you bagged the Motorola device for having Android 1 on it, being what you thought was a low-spec light version of Android. This is not the case. Google originally named the lightweight version Android 1, but then renamed it to Android Go last year and then reused the Android One branding for phones that don't have bloat, are clean, and are guaranteed to get 3 years of security patching, 2 years of OS updates. Motorola should be congratulated on not modding the OS and going with Android One. Nokia are making big inroads with Android One branded devices, as to our other handset manufacturers. I do recall that we probably kind of mixed up the waters there. Although I found it funny, Randall, when I'm reading through this, that it's no surprise why people might get confused because of the reappropriating of the name Android One from one reason to an entirely different one. But it's a very good point. Android One now is not a brand that is defined by low spec, low cost. It actually... The prices range between $150 to $800 for these devices. And really, in many ways, it's like the new Nexus or Google Play Edition category, right? Maybe more so than Nexus, and we have a Mashable article that kind of writes this too by Raymond Wong. But that's kind
There's
of what it is.
Also a really good article that, posted on Engadget over the weekend about Android One.
Oh, yes. I read that one as well. That should have made it in here too. So
just so people know, in case they want to read.
Yeah. And it's a good reminder, because I think sometimes I fall victim of that, of kind of getting the two of those efforts mixed up. And they are very different. Android Go is totally the less than 1 gig of memory, super low spec version of Android. Android One is really just like what we used to get with Nexus for the most part. I think in my head, sometimes I would say Pixel is that, but Pixel's like the high end of that.
I would say in our defense, you're right. We totally blew that. But in our defense, Android One used to be that.
Well, that's what I mean. It's right? Confusing. Like in reading through what Randall wrote here, I was like, it's no surprise that people get it messed up, because Android One used to be something different. It used to be that, and now it's turned into something else. So,
I blame our friends at Google. I don't blame us. I blame Google.
Blame Google. All right. I'm sure Google would appreciate all the blame.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm one phone call away from the EU on this issue, okay?
Oh, no, put the phone down. Let's get through the show before you do that, Ron. I think we can wait another hour at least.
Yeah.
All right, so for the most part, the rest of the show is hardware. So let's get into hardware.
Yeah. Go.
And tacking on to the email, this first hardware block is all Android One.
Or tacking on to the Moto. By the way, I just wanted to show off very quickly that I just remembered I had this. Sorry. But I got the Moto G6 in a nice, one of the nice rose gold colors. I just wanted to show you all this pretty shiny color.
Does it work as a mirror? Looks like it would.
Huh?
Does it work as a mirror? It kind of looks like it would.
Yes. Yes, it really does, actually.
A rose gold mirror.
A rose gold mirror. if only they were rose gold skin. Yeah. So anyway, speaking of Motorola, more about them, you know, eFun Berlin happened. Mm-hmm. Typically it's a tech show for kind of Europe and overseas, but oftentimes we'll hear a lot about what's coming out from other OEMs at the show. And so for Motorola being the first one up, they announced the Motorola One and One Power. These are both Android One devices, hence their name. And so we're back here on the Android One train. The Motorola One has a 5.9-inch HD Plus LCD screen, a Snapdragon 625 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, 13-megapixel rear-facing camera, 8-megapixel front-facing camera, 3,000 milliamp battery, which kind of feels standard at this point. Also comes, ships with Android Oreo, and it's going to cost around €299, so around €300, probably a little more for us in the US. The Motorola One Power, hence the name, is a tiny bit more powerful. It's 6.2-inch, just a tiny bit, 6.2-inch full HD plus display, LCD display with Snapdragon 636, so a little more powerful. Dual 16-megapixel and 5-megapixel rear-facing cameras, so it's going to come with that extra camera to add that extra little bit of oomph. 12-megapixel front-facing camera for slightly clearer selfies. 5,000 milliamp battery. Ooh. That certainly lives up to the name of power. And it also ships with Oreo, but there's no pricing, and this is planned for India only, which that's going to be a nice phone for the Indian market. Both phones have headphone jacks. Yes, there is a notch, as the style has called for, and is promises of 2 software version upgrades through Android Q, whatever the heck that might be, and 3 years of security updates. So that's pretty darn nice. And if you're buying that phone in India for the Motorola One Power, I mean, those are some nice specs.
Yeah. Let's see here. I had something and it lost. It fell into the notch.
Out of your brain.
I had something.
It fell into the notch.
Right when I started talking, it disappeared. it fizzled away right into the gap that the notch left. I don't think I have anything more. I want that thought back, though, because I had something really wonderful. Oh, I remember what it is. Fell into the notch. Nice title idea. Is that it kind of stinks. One thing that does kind of stink, like 2 OS versions is great, but it kind of stinks when like your first OS version is the one just before the new one that just launched, right? So it'd be really nice if this launched with
Welcome
Pi
to and Android. Then we
have QR. So it kind of feels a little bit behind, but hey, yeah, welcome to Android. I guess that's the reality of Android.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be like shut it down by being a little miss cynical, but it's just kind of how I feel at this point. And there's so much more. I don't know. It's just welcome. If you haven't been here already.
Thank you.
The snacks
it's good
are good.
To be here.
The snacks are good, but sometimes the air conditioning doesn't work. You know,
you got to kick it.
You give and you take.
Yep. Understood.
So it's so hot here. Why'd you have to bring up air conditioning?
Sorry.
well, continuing on the Android One love, let's talk about the LG G7. So the LG is getting in on the Android One game as well, too. But they didn't hold an event or anything like that. They just put out a press release.
Okay.
so the LG G7 One is the LG's first Android One device. It's got a similar design as the G7, but with a matte finish. And it lacks dual rear-facing cameras, and it steps back to the Snapdragon 835 and 32 gig of storage. It's got support for the quad DAC, which is always cool to see. And security and platform updates are nice, since LG isn't usually that great in updating their phones. But no pricing or availability yet. But LG came to IFA ready to show off a G7 One.
With a press release.
Yeah.
Ooh, so, look at that purple color. Wait. Look at that purple color.
Now that's the I think that is the
it's the G7
what is it, the thin Q?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
this is kind of like side by side, if I remember correctly. Yeah. That's
but
the
I
Q.
Want that color for every phone from now on.
The shiny purple.
I like the idea of a LG G7 with Android One with just this stock, you know, as close to pared down, no other kind of stuff. That could be a really good phone.
I mean, more and more, like, I know I was talking about this being Android One being more like a Nexus replacement in that price category, but really it just reminds me of the Google Play Edition stuff. You know, I mean, it's a combination of both. Mm. But I remember when Google Play Edition, when everybody was clamoring, like, what. Google really needs to do, or what these hardware manufacturers really need to do, is they need to come out with a version of their really nice phone, their Samsung Galaxy phone, and then
without all the stuff,
without all the software cruft, and just have it be. And you know, they did it for a very short period of time, but I remember that being like a big victory, being like, "Yay, they're listening, they're doing it," and then nobody bought them. I think maybe it'll be a little bit different with Android One.
Well,
already it seems like everybody's getting on board with it.
I was going to say, the marketing of Google Play version is so, like, not interesting to a consumer versus Android One, which is also way easier to advertise in countries that don't primarily speak English. Like, those are, I just feel like the words are easier in a sense, and it's just much easier marketing. And I think you're absolutely right. It totally is the Google Play version.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
So it's nice.
Words
but
are
more
easier.
Optimized, though, right? Because the Google Play version, I remember part of the problem was that you didn't have all the fancy configurations and features. Like, I think the Samsung phone maybe didn't have like the same camera abilities. I don't remember. This was years ago.
No, you're spot on. When it came out on the, I can't remember which Galaxy S it was. But
I think it was four.
It was like four or five or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And any of these special camera features that were part of Samsung's software did not make it into the vanilla version of Android that was installed on it. So you actually lacked certain features that the hardware was capable of. It's just it wasn't running Samsung software to process it.
Ooh.
So sad trombone on that one.
It's much better now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the direction of this.
It looks like a Pixel phone.
Oh, wow. Well, hold on to that thought, because we've got a phone in the next hardware block that totally looks like a Pixel phone.
Right.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but first let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is Grammarly. I'm a huge fan of Grammarly, and you're going to see why. The communication tool that helps improve your writing for every occasion. I don't think I'm a bad writer, but I make silly mistakes when I'm writing, and especially when I'm trying to, you know, type out an email quickly to somebody. You don't want to come across, you know, with just silly grammatical errors or spelling errors, that sort of stuff. Sometimes your spell check that's built into your software is going to catch things. Often it catches spelling errors, but it doesn't check grammar as well. And that's kind of what Grammarly is all about. And it's really, really good at it. Grammarly helps you write more confidently for all the things that you're writing for, work, school, even on the go. They have a free version that you can use to get you started and to understand kind of how it gets in there and analyzes your writing and helps you, you know, proposes different ways that you can improve that your sentence structure so that it makes more sense, that it removes unneeded apostrophes. That's all that stuff. It's available across platforms, including online, desktop, and mobile. Grammarly has a premium version that allows users to track their writing skills and progress over time. You can almost kind of, you know, see how you do and how you improve and how much time you're saving and all that kind of stuff over time. In addition to spelling and grammar, Grammarly Premium helps with advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, vocabulary suggestions, conciseness, and trimming it down to make sure you get to the point faster, readability for different occasions. 76% of surveyed premium users now find writing more enjoyable. And that's just because it works. It's always there, kind of running in the background and super easy to detect when it spots something. You just see it, it calls it out on the page, and you make the change. And it just makes you sound, I mean, let's be honest, it makes you sound and look smarter, right? Because everything reads the way it's supposed to be reading. Go to grammarly.com/android to get 20% off Grammarly Premium today. That's grammarly.com/android. And check it out for yourself. Check it out for free at first. I think you're going to want the premium for the added features that that entails. And we thank Grammarly for their support of All About Android. That's grammarly.com/android. All right, we don't need to play a bumper because we're knee-deep in hardware right now. This is Hardware at IFA Part 2, Other Phones, because I didn't know what else to name it.
Cool.
Hardware IFA Part 2, Electric IFA-loo.
Yes, the Electric IFA-loo is upon us. let's see here. So I had spent some time with the Sony Xperia XZ2 a little while back, and that's because it was the new Sony phone. Guess what? Sony's got a new flagship. It's the Sony Xperia XZ3. That's right. Really? Did not take them long. They announced
they couldn't be stopped with two. They had to move to three.
They had to move for three. And there are some upgraded aspects of this. It really does feel kind of like, to a certain degree, it's like an XZ2 Premium Plus, maybe. But, I mean, it has some extra features in here, so I'll list them off. It's an upgraded 6-inch 2880 by 1440 OLED panel, not LCD like on the last phone, at 18:9 ratio. It's an upgraded 3300 milliamp hour battery. That's a slight upgrade from 3180. It ships with Pi, so you're starting with Android Pi on that. The front-facing camera is upgraded to a 13-megapixel sensor, so you're going to have more high-quality selfie photos, and there's some advanced kind of 3D modes, interactive modes that you can do with the front-facing sensor. I played around with that a little bit, and that was kind of cool, so apparently that's improved on here. They're also touting pretty big AI features, as are all the smartphone makers, a feature called SideSense that surfaces predicted apps for you. So it's kind of predicting how you use the phone and giving you those apps when it's needed. Something called Smart Launch, which automatically detects when you're holding your phone horizontally for a picture, and it detects that and then launches the camera app for you. So it's like, ooh, oh, you pulled out your phone as if you were going to take a picture here. Instead of tapping on the phone button, we'll do that's it for good. You.
That's going to be really cool when you want to take a picture, and all the other times, super annoying.
Yeah, I wonder how it really, truly knows that.
Yeah.
You know, it's artificial intelligence, which is the solution to all of our worries and our woes. It's going to launch in October, so you're going to have to wait long for this. £699, which translates to around $900 US. So, what?
Sorry.
What?
No.
No.
I don't want it.
Flo says no. Why?
No.
Wow.
I refuse to give you $900. No.
Okay.
That's fair. That's fair.
$900 is
pricey. That's how I feel about it.
The XZ2 Premium, if I remember correctly, was right around $1,000.
That's no. So this is less. Stop that.
I'm just telling.
This is not the early 2000s. Sony can, does not have this kind of clout anymore. You cannot charge that much money for your stuff anymore. I'm sorry.
Victor,
this is how I personally feel. I mean, they do definitely have clout overseas, but like over here, no.
Victor's pointing out something that it might change your mind flow. There's
what?
There's a purple.
The purple phone.
Yeah. Eh? How much is purple worth to you?
I'd rather take a usable version of Android than a purple phone.
Okay. Sony's version of Android is pretty usable. It's okay. I'll be honest. It was all right. It was not my favorite thing about the XZ2.
I'm really hard to take away from the Google path.
Oh yeah. Flo.
I've just been treated so well by Google these last two phones that it's hard for me to think of life elsewhere.
Well, think of life elsewhere you shall, because you're talking about the next phone on the list.
Well, this is a big life elsewhere for people around the world. It really revolves around Huawei. They're a very big player elsewhere in the world, as much as they've tried to be a big player here. But they did have another announcement at IFA, the Huawei Honor Play. This is meant to be a gaming device, hence the name Play. Yes. 6.3-inch display for playing with a notch, which might not make you very happy when you're playing, but you'll work around it. Dual 16-megapixel and 5-megapixel rear-facing cameras. You know, with Huawei, they're pretty darn good at that camera stuff.
Yeah.
With AI camera features like scene detection and portrait mode. Also, a 16-megapixel front-facing camera, which means photos are going to be sharp, so get your oil blots out. Kirin 970 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, which seems... Actually, that's standard about now. 3,750 milliamp battery. So I guess that's pretty good. GPU turbo mode to boost graphic performance up to 60% and reduce power consumption up to 30%. I guess we'll have to see what the reviews say about that, because that's just what it promises. It's also got AI 4D smart shock feature for enhanced haptic vibration during gameplay, so that when you are holding onto those virtual buttons, they feel like the real tangible buttons, but they're not real.
Yeah, it's like that watch that you brought on, that vibrating watch, but in your phone.
Or the Nintendo 64 Rumble Pack.
Yeah, I guess.
It was very rumbly.
I do take umbrage with the name of this as the AI 4D smart shock feature, because the fourth dimension is time, and unless those buttons are vibrating you in the past, I want
to
hear.
I think 4D has yet to be truly defined. Is it time, or is it just really whatever you want it to be? Which is what I think all marketing departments assume is 4D is whatever they want it to be.
Ron, you'll be a lot happier with the 3D surround sound in the headphones, but they're only in the headphones only. And you get all this for 329 euros.
Okay. The Honor Play. The Huawei Honor Play.
I think the fourth dimension is time. And I want a phone that can be a time machine.
By the way, can I offer an anecdote?
Go for it.
I have noticed I had a friend who moved overseas. She moved overseas and she switched from an iPhone to a Huawei, I think the latest P20 Pro?
Yeah, I think the P20, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was very interesting, like, the minute she went overseas, just to be, like, open to the idea of a Huawei phone. I don't know. Just thought it was interesting.
Go to a different market where Huawei dominates and you find yourself enticed.
Well, yeah, because I mean, think of if the advertising is like big over there and it's you see people using it, you're more inclined to want to check it out, right? And I don't see people using Huawei phones in the United States. I see them use plenty of LG phones.
Well, but isn't there a whole availability country politics thing going on with Huawei?
Yeah, but I just mean in the sense that, you know, if the phone were more widely available in the U.S. and we would start seeing people use it, then it would be, I don't know. I'm just offering an anecdote of how they are a part of the world elsewhere and not here.
Sure. Yeah.
Those are my observations.
It's easy for us to, and I've probably do this as well, easy for us to think that Huawei is like a less dominant brand than it actually is, because worldwide, I mean, it's enormous. It's just we happen to live in the United States. I mean, the same could probably be said for Sony as another brand where, you know, we consistently kind of fall into the trap of, oh, it's a Sony, it's not a big deal. It's just not a big deal here in the U.S., it seems like. But in other markets, it's a very big deal.
But with Sony, it used to be a big deal to have a Sony product. And that's why it's a little, for me, I make such a comment about it, because my household used to be a Sony ecosystem, and now it's not.
Yeah. Now it's a Samsung ecosystem.
Actually, now it's Google.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's Google and whatever I get on sale.
Setting that bar high.
Spoken like a true millennial. All right.
And as long as they put some avocado spread on it, good to go.
Yeah, you're all set. Some toast, you'll be all set. No, but when talking about phone brands and their presence around the world versus the U.S. or whatever, I think a good example now is HTC, which, as we all know, Google invested strategically in, and HTC is believed to do a lot of development, and did the Pixel 3 come out of that and all that sort of stuff or whatnot. And but at IFA, HTC announced the HTC U12 Life, which answers the question, what is HTC going to be doing with what's left of the company? And here is their new phone that is a premium mid-range device. It's running Snapdragon 636 with a 6-inch FHD display, and it's got 6 gig and 128 gig storage options, 6 gig of memory, 128 gig of storage, dual 16-megapixel and 5-megapixel rear-facing camera, and a 13-megapixel front-facing camera with LED flash, a 3,600 milliamp battery, headphone jack. There you go. No notch. So no notch to fall into on this one. And the back of it, the back of the phone looks very close to a Pixel device kind of merged with an iPhone X. It's got acrylic glass with a dual tone texture on the bottom half. And some people, this article here was showing from PC World, and other folks are arguing that it's a better design than the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 3. And for that reason, it's speculated, which I think is a bunch of malarkey, but it's speculated that HTC U12 Lite is only going to be available in Europe because it would show up the upcoming Pixel 3, which I disagree with. But for whatever reason, it's available in Europe for between $329 and €329 and €349. And a lot of praise for this HTC U12 Lite and saying this is what could have been a Pixel 3. And it's speculated, is this possibly a rejected Pixel 3 design? I, for one, don't think it looks that – it doesn't look bad, but it doesn't look that amazing.
Like
I read a bunch of articles where everyone was effusive with the praise about it, and it just looks like the same phone that's been out for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Doesn't look much different to me.
Maybe it shows better in person.
Yeah, but like this PC World article is like the most beautiful phone we've ever seen, and and it's still got a pretty big bezel. It's got that fat bezel on the top and the bottom. You know, like maybe now that I'm on the OnePlus 6 and I'm used to the notch, and I was just looking at my phone on the subway today, and I was like, wow, there's barely any bezel on this phone. Like I've got a lot of screen real estate.
You're like, I could really go for some more notch on this phone.
Yeah, give me more notch. But I mean, this is a fine phone. It looks like somewhere between a Pixel 2 and a Pixel 3. It definitely looks
in between. It's not a damn fine phone, though.
No, it's not a damn fine phone.
So. I appreciate that you use the word malarkey.
Yeah,
me too. I was really beaming.
That's why I'm here.
I don't know if I've ever used that term, but I'm going to start using it more.
There you go.
You should.
Dag nabbit. All right. You can let us know what you think of the HTC U12 Life by sending us an email.
HTC@twit.tv.
And finally, in other news of phones that might be kind of hard to find in the United States because it has the letter Z, T, and E in it.
What you should have named this block.
Right. Yeah. That would have been appropriate for most of this block, actually. But I mean, that's IFA in a nutshell, right? ZTE Axon 9, its latest flagship, Snapdragon 845, 6.21-inch AMOLED display, 4,000 milliamp hour battery that's no malarkey, dual 12-megapixel and 20-megapixel rear-facing cameras, 20-megapixel front-facing camera. Ooh, that's a high-res front-facing camera. 6 gigs of memory, 128 gigs of storage, 8.1 Android 8.1 Oreo running on this device. It'll be available in September in Europe for 649 euros. ZTE also did announce that it has big plans in bringing 5G into its 2019 phones. Wasn't 5G a big part of the reason why ZTE was like booted out of the U.S. for whatever amount of time? Anyways, they made a comment on that to say, yes, it's coming in our phones next year. They're going to make considerations on things like an antenna placement, power consumption requirements, new hardware that is required to support 5G. And in what we've seen from that 5G Moto mod, it makes things big and chunky and weird. So we'll see how that looks on a ZTE phone, maybe. But until then, we have the ZTE Axon 9. Yeah, it's about all.
ZTE, man.
Cool.
Yes, exactly. ZTE, man.
So these are four, you know, Sony, Huawei, HTC, ZTE. You know, we got flagship, we got mid-range, we got, you know, gaming, we got, you know, the new flagship. Are any of these phones, like, was IFA worth waiting for? I guess that's my question.
From a phone standpoint.
Yeah.
And India.
I mean, I feel like
China.
Year after year, IFA, there's a lot of hardware that comes out of IFA. It's definitely not a show that's tailored for the US market, right? And so you don't see a whole lot of splashy stuff, but you do see devices that are tailored for like the Indian market, the Chinese market. A lot of times they're in that low to mid-range kind of price category. So from one perspective, it's easy to see the stuff coming out of IFA and go, oh, but it's not like, you know, aside from Sony, it's not flagship territory. Therefore, you know, it's just a bunch of phones that we might never really see on the streets. But on the other hand, I'm sure in a lot of those markets, these are pretty valuable options. So, you know, from our Western perspective, maybe it seems less important than it actually is.
From our coddled Western perspective.
And do we also think that the Pixel 3 leaks have changed our view of phones? Because now that everything is being compared, is this better or worse than the Pixel 3? Yeah. Did you see the article? Might be. Did you see the article about the Pixel? I forgot where I saw it. I saw it briefly fly by in the feed. The Pixel 3 got dropped in a cab, and it's been leaked so much that the driver recognized it.
Yes, exactly. Comedy of errors with the Pixels. I'm seeing a lot more people saying this time around, like, they would normally get the XL version of the Pixel because it's larger, and this time around they think they're going to go for the smaller one, the Pixel, because it's going to be good enough, and there's just so much hatred for the bucket up at the top of the phone that they don't want the 3XL.
Listen, hate the game, don't hate the bucket.
I got to say, just sorry to veer off topic, but very quickly, lots of people have been complaining about the Pixel 2 XL, and I have to say I've had no problem with the regular small Pixel 2, except for the bad, terrible battery life. And
you mean complaining screen, about performance, or?
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that just been complaining about performance and software glitches. And of course, there was that big screen snafu last year when it launched, versus my little Pixel 2 has just been purring and running just fine.
Yeah.
It did the beta. Or actually, I didn't do the beta. Just kidding.
But you thought about it, obviously.
But yeah, no, I didn't do it.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, I find myself going, maybe I do want the smaller one. I don't know why I'm thinking that, though. I think I'm just thinking that because that's where all the cool kids are, and I want to hang with them.
It's just a pendulum. It's just swinging. Yeah. Big phones are the way to go. Smaller phones are the way to go.
Everybody's on the smaller phones. Now I want a bigger one.
And this is why we need foldable phones, so you can have both.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, maybe. Samsung. It's coming. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and let's thank LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. LegalZoom is awesome because you know the saying, time is money. It's totally true, especially when you run your own business. Literally, I can attest to this. Time is money. But running a successful business involves taxes, contracts, and a whole lot of fine print. Things that eat up too much of your time, especially if you're not a lawyer at all. So that's why it's time to turn to LegalZoom. Over the past 17 years, more than a million Americans have used LegalZoom to help launch their businesses. But that's only the beginning. LegalZoom has a network of independent attorneys and tax professionals who can provide you with the advice you need to get through the daily grind of running your business. And the best part is you don't have to worry about driving to anyone's office or being billed by the hour, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. You can count on LegalZoom to provide the business resources you need and service that fits into your schedule. You can invest your time and money into growing your business and let LegalZoom help with the legal stuff. And let me tell you, as someone who has tinkered and worked at small business and entrepreneurship and all that fun stuff, you don't want to worry about this stuff. You want to get someone who's a trusted advice, who can tell you the information you need when you need it, and you don't have to worry about meetings and schedules and going to their office. LegalZoom is there when you need it, and they're amazing. So go to LegalZoom.com and use promo code AAA at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com and use code AAA. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. And we thank them for their support and providing great advice and services. Thanks, LegalZoom.
Thank you, LegalZoom. And now, we haven't had this segment in a really long time.
No, I saw it. I got excited.
Jam-packed segment that we call hardware, but the other kind of hardware. Oh, yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen that bumper, and that's just one of the most clever Jeff Kosmicki works we've ever seen.
Completely agree. Completely agree. Flo, you're up.
Well, yes. It's official. The rumors were wrong.
Oh, that never happens.
It's not the Pixel 3?
Yeah. So, it's official. The rumors were wrong. There's no Pixel Watch this year.
Oh, no Pixel Watch.
It's not coming. It's not happening. Sorry. Sorry. I got a cop to this. This is my friend Caitlin McGarry from Tom's Guide. We used to work together at PC World, so you know, we did spend some time together. But she got the exclusive at IFA that Google will not release a Pixel Watch this year, which was insane because it came directly from the mouth of Google babes. to use that phrase. So instead, Google said that it's focusing on Wear OS and its partners, which makes sense because they've already got that train rolling. And if we're thinking about like all the fashion brands out there, I mean, they're really going to benefit from this software update in the end, right? So Google isn't interested in developing a watch just yet because there's no perfect watch for everyone. And so, you know.
That will never be the case, though. There will never be a perfect watch for everyone.
No,
can't be a perfect. There won't be a perfect phone for everyone. That's the thing. You can't make a perfect blank for everyone. Does not exist, except maybe with like milk,
perfect milk like, for everyone.
Like just like things that are just like elemental in that. But when it comes to technology, everyone's gonna have different needs and all that sort of stuff.
However, this is just from my brain. But what if what we got instead were like updated watches from partners announced very soon?
Well, I think, I mean, I would imagine we're probably going to we'll talk about the updates to Wear OS next. But it kind of feels like maybe that's the alternative, right? Is that
imagining
some sort of big update and some devices to match in with that.
I'm imagining like an LG watch style too or something like a thinner, you know, POLED, something that actually fits and doesn't make me sweat and itch.
And isn't larger than the wrist. That picture that was on the Tom's Guide article with the watch. I mean, the watch was so big on that wrist. I mean, that's still a constant issue.
I mean, this is why I don't wear one.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
That's Caitlin's wrist, by the way.
Yeah.
It looks like a saucer.
That is a big like watch a on Caitlin's wrist.
Yeah. Well, on that watch, potentially could be the next version of Google's Wear OS.
I think it is.
So do you remember the moment when Android kind of crossed the Rubicon and no longer felt like a thing only for us, but an operating system that any person could use. You know what I'm talking about, right?
That was material design for me.
Yes, it was material design. I agree. When it got so elegant and the design of the interface got so nice that it no longer was a thing that we understood, like, oh, this is the default button set, or this is the, you know, like, oh, it seemed less hacky and it seemed more polished and more like a product. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like the third update to Wear OS is going to potentially cross into that that realm. The update is expected in mid-September, and the early returns on it are very positive. There are three focuses on this update. One, it helps people stay connected. Two, proactive assistant help. And three, focusing on living healthier lives. Those move points and heart points circles that are coming to the watch from Google Fit, which I've been using Google Fit, by the way, and I love it. It's fantastic, the new one. It's got a rearrange interface for finding things more efficiently, smaller notification cards that fit more on the screen at once instead of just one at a time, and easier access to the to Google Pay from the watch itself. Speed increases when including in the assistant, and all Wear 2.0 watches will get the update within a week or two. So it looks like on the OS level, they're focusing, okay, people are wearing watches. Why? They're wearing watches for fitness needs, and we think that the assistant experience will be the game changer here. So let's focus on that. And I was watching some videos and some takes on the stuff that show it, and it really does dial into how are people actually using this device. It's not an extension of your phone anymore. You're getting these messages, you're getting notifications, but you're asking assistant for directions or what the temperature is or whatever it is, and you're checking your steps and you're doing your fitness stuff. It becomes more context specific to what you do with a device on your wrist. So Wear OS actually looks like it might be maturing with this third version.
Yeah, I like the looks of it.
The look of it is amazing. It looks very nice.
Yeah, because but it is interesting when Wear OS or Android Wear, as it was known when it first released, it's so interesting how quickly our attention or acceptance of a particular design paradigm fades off when a new one comes around, right? Like, this looks really good right now. I remember Android Wear looking really good when it launched too. And, you know, now I look at it and it looks very dated and very card-like and, I don't know, just not appealing. So, but I like this. This actually seems to tie in a lot to the current kind of design paradigm that we're seeing in a lot of Google's apps, you know, kind of ties into that material theming aspects.
Yep.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, sorry.
Go for after it. You, Flo.
Being on Skype sometimes makes it hard to jump in. Sorry, everyone. I was going to say that this very much feels like a direct punch towards Apple and the Apple Watch, because the thing that made the Apple Watch so successful in its ecosystem is the fact that a lot of people really rely on it for that fitness element. And they really put a lot of work into marketing it as a fitness, like a fitness accessory for the Apple user. And so now Google's got to kind of go back and go, okay, we need to make Wear OS an absolute accessory for these type of people to kind of get them to want to wear this. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And it alludes to the next story perfectly. Casio announced a new smartwatch at IFA running this new Wear OS. So a lot of people saw it. They said it was awesome. The WSD F30, which maybe they should focus on the name if they need to change something. I'm just saying.
WSDF?
I love my WSD F30.
You should have done WASD. Okay, sorry, gamer joke.
I don't get it. It's okay.
It's the keys for first-person shooters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right, actually. Okay, this watch, the WSD F30, is aimed for outdoor adventurers. That's kind of the focus of what this is all about. So kind of what you're talking about, Flo, a focus on exercise and all of those things that maybe a traditional like Casio rugged watch might offer. It's water resistant up to 50 meters. It has a round 1.2-inch dual-layer display. So that's a monochrome LCD as well as a color OLED at 390 by 390 resolution. And there's a big focus on kind of battery efficiency. There's a new extend mode that maximizes this. It includes offline color map capability, offline GPS logging, and that can last for 8 hours per day for three consecutive days. Time and data shown in a monochrome display only while you're in this extend mode, a standby mode for further battery extension. And they also have multi-timepiece mode, which switches off the cellular connection, GPS, and color display for up to 1 month's worth of battery life. You really want to strip it down and just have it be a watch and not any of the data. Wow.
I can't stop gasping.
I know. You need to take a breath. Exhale. Exhale. You've inhaled a lot.
I want an Android watch.
What's that?
A month of battery life?
I mean,
that's crazy.
Obviously, if you're getting a month of battery life, I have to imagine a lot of what makes an Android Wear watch is put on pause, right? But still, you have that option. If you're going out for a three-week camping, hiking trip or whatever, you could conceivably take this along and do at least some of the things that
you
would expect.
Or you want to go off the grid.
If you think about what takes the battery power, right, display and connectivity, right? Mm-hmm. You take away connectivity. Like you take one of your phones and turn off mobile data, turn off everything, put it in airplane mode and leave it in airplane mode, you'll double your battery life.
Right. Right.
Right. Because all the time it's spending looking for that connection and looking for that data and all that sort of stuff. And then if they're able to do something with power management and the display and like going dark or showing something else out, you could squeeze that out of that. That's crazy. I like the idea that it can just be a watch.
Yeah. JJ might have the answer here. And this is an element that I don't think I realized until just now. The two different displays are probably, and we should look this up to be sure, but are probably tied to two different kind of underlying OS layers, right? There's the Android OS layer that's the traditional full color, blah de blah that you would get, you would expect is, that runs on all Android Wear devices. And then there's the monochrome version that is probably not Android Wear specifically. It probably runs on its own OS layer, and that's how it's able to get a month out of it. Still, very nice to have in a single device, I think.
Clever design.
Yeah.
Clever design.
Yeah, totally. So I like it. Casio's WSDF30.
It's a good blueprint for other fitness watches as well that want to run Wear OS.
Yeah. And I mean, on that wrist, whoever's wrist that was, it didn't look too gigantic.
It was a man's wrist.
Yes, it was a man's wrist. Yeah, but it didn't look insanely big. Now, you've got a fun watch, or I don't even know if this is a watch. It's a smartphone, but...
Have you ever wanted to wear a scrolling marquee on your wrist? Because now's your chance.
Heck yeah.
That's what I thought when I saw this. I saw this kind of going around the Twitters today when I was checking in. So this is Nubia's wearable smartphone prototype, which is exactly what it sounds like. Now, this is The Verge's Vlad Safov's hand. I hope I said his last name right. It's his wrist. So it appears larger because he wasn't allowed to fasten it on. But from this perspective, I mean, it very much looks like, again, a scrolling digital marquee. I'm waiting for my number to come up on it so I know when I have to go up to the window at the DMV.
I love this.
That is actually an elongated OLED panel that drops into a metal watch strap. So it's, I guess, imagine a snap-on bracelet with an OLED panel embedded into it, maybe, possibly. Okay. It doesn't run all Android apps because developers would need to tailor them to this unique display. It intends to price it similarly to smartphones, not watches, which I quite frankly think that's going to be... Well, I mean, it depends what phones. If we're talking low-end, mid-range phones, okay, right. Around $300. This is only for... The plan is just to sell this in China by the end of the year. So I'm guessing if this is going to pop up on AliExpress, you better believe that I'm going to get one of these and wear it.
I think it's interesting that like what they showed off at IFA is not like operational. It had a demonstrated. Oh, good. You found the link. This is Mr. Mobile's video link. I haven't watched it, but somebody in chat alerted us to it. That it was like a built-in kind of demo video showing on it. So there was no interactive version of the OS. And you could, Vlad was not able to slap it on and attach it on his wrist. However, they still have plans to release this by the end of the year. So that's interesting.
I love it.
Only to a certain point, but hey, you've got a couple of months left. Get it out quick.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Give me more. I want it. Oh man, I'll wear the heck out of that thing.
I'm sure you will.
I'll get you one from AliExpress, Ron.
Please do. If someone gets me this, I will commit to wearing it for a month and do a full review of it.
Didn't Samsung have one similar to this?
Yes. It was one of the gear watches. It was like the fitness watch kind of looked like it.
Look how thick the middle of it is with the camera and everything. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that camera's a little funky.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, bless them.
Sign me up.
Yeah. This is Ron's watch right here.
It is. It was made for me.
I mean, it looks kind of, I don't know.
It's made for Ron's ankle.
It looks like a home arrest anklet. Yes. Like a house arrest thing. Yeah. Oh, God. I love it.
You can track your steps while you're on home arrest. House arrest.
That's what I thought.
All right. And that is IFA, the electric IFA-loo of 2018. Before we get into the arena, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is ExpressVPN. You've heard the news, all the recent news about online security breaches. You can't go a day without hearing these things. It's hard not to worry about where your data is going. Making an online purchase, maybe simply accessing your email, all that stuff could put your private information at risk if you're not careful. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider is tracking you as well. Like, we just kind of go numb to this, but it's happening all around us. Not only can they record your browsing history, they often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your information. So it's important that you know that this stuff is happening, and you can take action to kind of protect your privacy. I've been using ExpressVPN when you're on a public Wi-Fi setup, it's really good to log into a VPN. ExpressVPN is perfect for that. Has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, your phone, and or your tablet. And you just turn it on with a single click. Like, I've had some VPN apps on Android in particular where in order to do it, you have to kind of go through this step-by-step process or whatever. With ExpressVPN, it's literally just a push of a button and boom, you're connected. Secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. It also allows you to safely surf, like I said, on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having your personal data stolen. It's rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you can check it out, see what you think. You got 30 days to tell them what you think. Costs less than $7 a month. If you don't want to hand over your online history to your internet provider or data resellers, well, then ExpressVPN is the answer for you. Protect your online activity today, and you can find out how to get 3 months free with a one-year package. All you have to do is go to expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. That's expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. And if you do that, you're going to get 3 months free with a one-year package. So 3 months free, not a bad deal. Visit expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid to learn more and to protect yourself. And we thank ExpressVPN for their support. And now, boom, 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 it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, so before we get to the arena, we should probably just get something out on the table here, because there was some news that's totally related to the arena, last week's arena. Remember how last week I brought the rootless Pixel launcher into the arena and how it was present in the Play Store only because it downloaded the appropriate file, aka the rootless Pixel Bridge, to your phone when you first launched it. Before that, it couldn't be there because it just wasn't allowed. Well, the file that enabled Google Feed is what it's downloading, right? Among other things. And that was ultimately its undoing. It's now removed from the Play Store. The rootless Pixel launcher cannot be found on the Play Store anymore because what the app was actually doing, and duh, like when I think about it, like it makes perfect sense. But what the app was actually doing was it was downloading the APK via the app And that is, from what I understand, not allowed in the Play Store. You can't download another APK. They do that to protect you, right? Otherwise, an app, you'd install the app, and then it would download an APK, and suddenly you've got malware on your phone or whatever the case may be. In this case, that was not what was happening. The developer is really upset that this happened, but hey, those are the rules. The only thing, like, what I asked myself when I first read about this was, well, what's different when you download a game and then you run it and it says downloading, you know, 1.4 gigs of blah, 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 and it does that. And I guess the difference is in the game, in the perspective of the game, it's data that's supported by the app that you already downloaded. In something like this, it was downloading an extra APK and installing that, which was the rootless pixel bridge that acted as the mechanism to enable things like Google Feed. And that's not okay. So, but if you got it before it was pulled down, I guess, yay. Uh-oh, can't hear Ron.
How many times did John Cusack say it in a movie?
What's that? We missed that last part. What did you say?
I was saying that begs the question, does its arena results maintain?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would argue that it's okay because people voted for the app and it was an app and they were able to install it. But, you know, rootless pixel launcher was the winner. So I stand to gain in that reality. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe I'm not the one that should be judging on this.
it's a tough one. It's a tough one because at the time of the show, it was in the arena. It was in the Play Store and available, and then it no longer was. And so people can vote on the concept, I guess, and supported the developer and it him figuring out a way to get it back in. I guess it's okay. I mean, Flo, how do you feel?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Say, lovey. All right. So that said, yes, with those results, with Jason coming in first and me coming in second and Flo coming in third, through 35 weeks in the arena, the guests' lead is dwindling as there are no guests. So they've got 104 points. I'm still in second place with 87 points. Jason moving up in the charts with 81 points, and Flo is in last at 75 points. So, but anything
that's
can happen.
That's okay.
This week, once again, we have no guests. So Flo could get into the 80 club with a win. Right, and Jason could get even closer to me with a win, and I can get closer to guests. Anything can happen. It's amazing.
Chat room is lighting up a little bit. They are making the valid point, which is that it just doesn't exist in the Play Store as an app. It still exists.
I know,
we've had apps in the arena that exist outside the Play Store. So
this is definitely the kind of thing that my favorite folks in the chat room will jump all over and defend heartedly. And that's why I love them. So that's fine.
Yeah, I've got some good support today. Okay, so
Flo goes first.
All right, so Flo goes first. I will move that up here and I will launch it. I'll show it off for you, Flo.
Actually, what you're going to do is you're going to find yourself a pen pal today.
Oh, am I?
Yes, because finally, the app that I brought to the arena is called Slowly, and it's all about slowly communicating with people around the world. It's not a dating app. It's not a networking app. I'm just kind of in the mood to try and talk to somebody either in my language or another language that maybe you're practicing, and that's kind of why I like Slowly. So this is the way it works. So you sign up for it. You set up your profile, Jason, if you can go to set up your profile.
I already did.
Oh, look, there you are.
I got my profile set up. I've even received a letter.
This is what the profile looks like. So there's Jason's little person. It says your zodiac.
Thank you for reminding me. I'm a Virgo.
Which is how people find you and how you are matched with people.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yes, and you can describe yourself if you want to, or what you do is you tag. So you picked interesting topics like pets, I see, adventure. Oh, and so what it's going to do is when it pairs you with somebody, it's going to pair you with somebody who has similar interests. Oh, look, you got a letter from Portugal. It will be arriving in a day.
No, so why a day? Why not now?
Because the whole point of Slowly is that you are waiting for it to, quote unquote, be mailed to you.
Oh, yes. Like normal.
It's like
mail.
Snail mail for your phone.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So this person probably wrote you to try and practice their English. The last time I checked in, I had somebody coming in from Vietnam. They were just saying, hello, how you doing? Wrote them back and I said, hey, do you like Pokemon cards? I haven't heard back yet. I guess they don't like Pokemon. That's fine. You know, maybe I'll find some Pokemon friends through this. Honestly, Slowly is just, I just thought it was a really interesting concept on a social network. I like the app design. I think it's really cute and easy to navigate. And it's, I like the idea that it connects you with people in kind of a slow manner.
I really want to read this right now. I really wish I could.
Yeah, unfortunately,
read this right now.
It doesn't work. Let's see. Maybe I can show something.
Did you get
on
a letter?
My screen.
They wrote you a letter?
Yes, I did get a letter. Oh, here we go. Oh, sorry. It was Thailand. Oh, boy. That was really serious. Okay, so I wrote that I was having a bad day, and I sent it out into the ether, and I received back a letter from someone in Thailand. Just wanted to make sure. So they said, salutations. Sometimes we have a hard time, a hard period in life. Actually, it will happen many times, but it will have good things come. Well, so it's translated.
Okay.
From the other person. So the English isn't perfect, but I don't know. I like it.
I mean, it sounded like it was translated pretty well.
Yeah. Oh boy. This is me trying to do this. Let's see if this works.
Oh yeah. Okay. There we go.
Hey. You kind of see it. So it's just like, this is like the letter, and it looks like it was sent to you.
Oh, cool.
And then to reply back, there's a little floating action button, and then you could just start typing. And then there's cute little stamps that you can use. So I have a little, there's little Android stamps. There's little stamps that you can unlock that you can use. There's the Android one that says Hello World. And then there's like my Zodiac over there. Oop. I forgot that this is backwards, the camera.
No, you're good.
And you can kind of scroll through it. You know, it's just a little cute app, and I'm just always looking for something new in the Play Store. So
awesome. I love
Slowly.
It.
Slowly. It's free.
That's great. And I really like the design of it too. It's very, very bubbly and clean looking. Interesting. It's not
I will say it's different. As a kid who went to elementary school in the 90s, I don't know if I don't know how standards was in other schools, but we had pen pals from first through fourth grade. And so it was kind of always a part of that communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a pen pal when I was a kid. It wasn't through school though, but very cool. It's called Slowly. And
Slowly.
It's free.
Slowly, slow communication.
All right. Ron, you are up next.
Yeah. So a lot of times in the arena, I think all three of us can attest to this, that we're looking for new apps to bring to the arena, find things that are kind of like, oh, I haven't seen that before. It's a new take on this or whatever. And in the years that we've been doing this, it's been hard to actually do. Like, this is an app that I actually use and I testify and I kind of I'm endorsing. But in this case, this is a new app to me that in the past 2 weeks I've started using, and after using it for a couple of weeks, I'm like, I got to bring this to the arena because it's never been in the arena and I don't know how or why. But the app is called Balance, and it's actually, the full name is Runtastic Balance Food Tracker and Calorie Counter. But so for those of you who follow me on social media or the years and stuff like that might know that I enjoy running. I've ran several 10Ks, and I ran a half marathon a couple of years ago. I'm running another half marathon this November. And so I've been training for that. And part of that is, you know, you're dealing with, you know, food and how much you eat and losing weight and stuff like that. And so I was talking to my wife about this, and she's like, well, you have all those apps, just keep track of what you eat. Like, I'm not even talking about calorie counting, just keep track of what you eat so you have an idea of what your kind of food diary looks like. And so I was looking for different apps that do this, and I realized that the folks who make Runtastic, which is the app that I use when I go running to track my runs, have an app that does just that. And so I started using it, and as Jason's doing here, for those watching the video can see, you can easily just type in what you eat, and you can add it if you know the number of calories. You can add it or not. You don't need to, you know, to have it to be assigned with calories or not. You can use it just to keep track of what you're eating for. But there's also a huge database of things in there. So if you just type in a letter, it starts coming up, and you can find all different types of
there we go.
Breakfast burrito. There it is. And a lot of the times they have in their database, they have, you know, kind of commonality of ingredients and nutrition facts and calories. If you do want to track that stuff, it's very easy. They have a cool kind of a little ruler interface where you can adjust how big of a serving size you have.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
And the thing about keeping track of what you eat and tracking all this stuff is that it's got to be easy. It's got to be frictionless, because if it's not, you're not going to use it, which is useless, right? So I found myself using this app for the past couple of weeks and enjoying using it, looking forward to entering what I'm eating and keeping track of that stuff. But that's not where it stops. If you go back to the main screen, you can see here if from the top down, you can see you keep track of using the similar kind of circle progress infographic kind of style. Depending on your height and weight, it tells you about how many calories per day you should be eating. And then as you track it, the progress continues. It shows you how many calories you have left. It also gives you a balance of carbs and protein and fat, et cetera. But what's neat also here is that you can keep track of your fitness activities. And so if you do use Runtastic, if you go running, it will automatically port in the Runtastic data into the app, so you don't need to do anything. Unfortunately, it doesn't connect to Google Fit as of yet, so if you're doing something outside of Runtastic, you do need to manually add it. But again, the interface is easy, and it uses the same icons and almost the same interface Google Fit uses. I kind of curious why they don't have Google Fit as a part of it. So you can add in all your different activities, and it will account the calories as it ties into what you've eaten during the day, and give you a sense of, okay, you know you need to eat 3,000 calories, but you burn 500 doing that, you know, running those 7 miles, 8 miles.
Windsurfing, Ron. Windsurfing.
Windsurfing those 10 miles. So there you go. So that's just purely the food diary aspect of it. But wait, there's more. Down at the bottom, you can see that there's a news feed, which I don't really use as much. But it basically is your feed of your activity. And if you're connected to friends, you can see what other friends are using it if they're on Runtastic as well. But if you're not, it doesn't really matter. So I'm not really using it as much. But you can find friends who are using it if you want, that sort of thing. But then if you hit the plans button there to the right of the plus action button, if you are trying to set goals either for healthy balance or to lose weight or to whatever, they do have meal plans that can help you. And they do charge for these things. This is how they monetize it, right? So they do offer premium. That's at a low cost. You can see here, you know, $2.33 a week, or as low as 50 cents a week. About $30 for a membership. Not too bad. And if you're serious about this stuff, it's they do offer a good deal where you can get a full year membership for just $50, which is all right. And it's nice to have these, you know, if you're looking to do this sort of thing, to have these plans kind of done and in place for you already. But if you're just looking to track what you eat, to get a sense of some calorie kind of counting, and also factor in your exercise and all this sort of stuff, get a little healthy, the folks at Runtastic, dude, it's funny because we talk about support your devs and things like that. These are pro dev makers. Like, these are this is a company that is making these apps and monetizing them and making them, you know, and keeping them updated and keeping them kind of the best in class for you to use. And so why not use it? So Balance by Runtastic, food tracker, calorie counter, free in the Google Play Store. Check it out.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like good the design. Layout of it. Yeah, very good design.
I like the idea of the mobile nutritionist.
Yeah. It's nice.
Very nice.
It's a good tool to help you with your health goals.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right on. Okay. I'm going to show off an app that, I don't know, just kind of visually, I thought it was an appealing way to think about breaking down tasks, breaking down projects that you might have, and organizing how you think about your effectiveness in doing something. My app is called Mindly, and it's a mind mapping app, which is something that I wasn't too familiar with when I first stumbled across this. But I think it has an interesting design, and I could see how this could be really beneficial if you really got used to organizing kind of your projects and your ways of thinking around this. So I'm going to jump into Mindly here. and show it to you. So you can see right here, I'm not running the full version. I should have upgraded to that for this, so I apologize. I think the full version gives you unlimited amounts of these bubbles to add into a task, which I'll show you here in a second. But you can kind of see here, when I set it up, it gave me kind of a welcome task, let's say, with 17 elements inside. Gives you an idea of when it was created, modified, and that sort of stuff. When I tap in there, it takes me to kind of the mind map for this welcome message, right? And here they've listed, you know, you can go into here, find out how it's used. It takes you in there, and you start to see all the different functions on how to use the app, because they're using this as a way to kind of demonstrate what the app actually is. Press and move to rotate. You can move it, you know, to other cells if you want. All of these organizational things. I could double tap to edit that, and it would take me here where I could, you know, edit the heading, add some extra context in the note, maybe change the color of it, or maybe add an icon into it because I really like that one. And boom, now we've got the happy face that's attached to it. So what you can kind of see, what you start to see as you jump in and jump out, is that tasks become kind of hierarchically organized. It's a way to, and I got to keep the reflection out, sorry about that. It's a way to kind of organize your thoughts or your, you know, your vision around something into a way that maybe is a little bit more easily understood step by step. So we've got All About Android here, the components that are tied into All About Android, you know, creating the rundown, publishing to Twit, publishing to YouTube. And obviously, this is kind of simplified. There's a lot of other elements in this, too. But if I went into rundown, you know, I might add certain things around here. The arena would be one. News, hardware, apps, whatever. I could have that all kind of built into here. Publishing to Twit might have different things like writing the deck, the description for the website, or populating all the information into our content tool here. Publishing to what YouTube, choose a good thumbnail is important. Don't look at the comments. That's a really important one. But anyways, you start to see how these are all organized. You can get in there and really kind of customize them. I'll go ahead and jump into mind map, and you see it organized differently, right? It almost kind of steps you out into all these different directions, and you can see the whole thing in one kind of backed out view, as opposed to diving in and out through the interface. And I don't know. I think it's a cool way to visualize things. Maybe this is a good tool to use when you're brainstorming something. You can kind of keep things organized and nested in there within the brainstorm. And then later, that, you know, if you're using this as a brainstorming tool, this tells you step by step in the end what you need to do to execute on that project that maybe you're working, or maybe you want to write up a speech and you know you want to cover these points. So you drop those points in here and then go into each of those points and fill it with more bubbles that dive into a deeper explanation of those particular things. And then you've got kind of the skeleton, the basis for what you need to write from there. I just think that there's a lot of different ways that you could use this, and it's a cool UI to boot. So that is called Mindly, mind mapping. And, I think it's, kind of neat. You should check it out. See if maybe it makes, you know, it easier for you to, create some of these projects that you've been putting it off for far too long. You need to do something about it. All right. All right. Your mom is worried about you. You never finish your projects anymore.
Nothing like Jason to guilt you into productivity.
I know, right?
Good old-fashioned. I mean, Jason is so nice, and he's like the best guy, but he can really make you feel bad for not getting stuff done.
That's right. If it's what I got to do to make you live up to your potential.
Hey, man, it's for the good of us all.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So it's called Mindly. All right, and that's it. I've already created the URL. I've already created the poll. I'm on it today. It's time for you to go to twit.to/AAApoll385, twit.to/AAApoll385, and place your vote on your favorite app this week. Is it Slowly? Is it Runtastic, Balanced Food Tracker and Calorie Counter? Or is it Mindly, mind mapping? Place your vote, and we'll check in on it next week. Victor hovered and selected Mindly. Yes!
Yeah, I felt guilty about it.
Yes, good.
Oh, there it is.
As you should. I want to see how you're using Mindly to post-produce this show going forward.
There it is.
I will check in on your work, Victor.
Wow.
All right.
I don't know. I could also see Mindly being like it being really easy to get lost inside of it and spend more time organizing than you spend time doing. But I won't say that out loud, although I just did. And don't.
Well, that's what some people's brains feel like.
Yeah, it's true. And yes, cousin of John, I don't think Mindly is going to get pulled from the Play Store in 3 days. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
If it does, think of that. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I have a knack for picking apps that'll get pulled. Yep. Great. That's it. We're done. This IFA episode is history, folks. Almost history. We have to do our goodbyes, though. Starting with you, Flo. What's new in your world? What you up to?
I'm still recovering from my Labor Day weekend right now. But for now, FlorenceIon.com, Twitter. That's how you can find me. And, of course, here on the Twit Network for the next couple of weeks. Yep. For Know How, our last show, I believe, is September 20th. So please tune in. We got 3 weeks left.
Wow. So you've got 3 weeks left. That means I have 4 weeks left until my Know How begins.
All right, Jason.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel the pressure, too. I looked at the calendar. I was like, wait a minute. I still have a lot of stuff I've been working on it for a while, but there's still plenty to do. And I know you know all about that because it's not easy to jump in there and do that.
I know everything.
Yep. Oh, I know. Flo, thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
And Ron, what about you?
Not much for me to say other than I'm just trying to survive this New York City summer that just won't go away. Yep. It's in the 90s. It's rough. I'm surviving, but it should calm down. Hopefully we'll see. But right. Yeah, follow me, Twitter, Matt Ronixo, and Instagram, Ronixo, same name, same nonsense, fun times. Love the Android. IFA. We survived IFA. There you go.
We survived IFA and we didn't even go there.
We didn't even go.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, exactly. Victor, thank you. And thank you for voting. I appreciate your guilt.
Oh, no problem, man. I think that's every day.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. You can find me right here on the Twit Network, twit.tv/almostallshows. And I'll be doing in the next couple of weeks. Not quite that much, but I'll be on Security Now and This Week in Google and another new screensavers in a couple of weeks. So, you know. Filling in for Leo, it's not easy. It takes many of us to fill in for Leo when he's gone. So there you go. Yeah. You can also find me, my music at yellowgoldmusic.com and find me on the Twitters tweeting at Jason Howell. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. We have our Arena apps list, twit.to/Android apps, if you want to check out on all of our past Arena entries. And thanks to the folks that keep that updated each and every week. Show notes of past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. That's where you're going to find a new hero image. When did that happen?
Whoa. Was that tonight?
Holy cow. No, I think that happened like a week ago. Yeah, that was a week ago.
Wow. So. Look how...
I'm not usually on Skype.
I know. I mentioned
now I feel
that.
Bad.
I mentioned
it was
that.
A tracksuit. It's because I wore the tracksuit that day, and it had to be in put in infamy. I appreciate it.
No more creepy me looking directly in the camera while you guys look at a different camera.
We're all looking relatively similar in this photo, so that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get you in studio, Flo, and we'll get another picture taken. There will never be a perfect hero image for this page. I'm pretty sure.
It's true.
There'll always be something.
It's like no perfect driver's license image.
Oh, so true.
No perfect watch. No perfect phone. Not perfect.
No perfect way.
Nothing is perfect.
No perfect.
No perfect way to end this episode other than to say thank you for watching. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.